Welcome to Peernovation, the podcast with Leo Battari and me, Randy Cantrell. Building on our previous shows, The Year of the Peer and What Anyone Can Do, we turn our attention to helping business leaders build high-performing teams. We'll talk with a diverse group of thought leaders who will share stories and insights that will help you and your teams achieve new heights. If you believe there is strength in numbers and that meeting the challenges of the future can only be achieved if we do it together, then join us for the conversation. Today's guest is John Largent. John is the founder and CEO of Game Day Media Enterprises based in San Antonio. He is the host of the SeniorCare.fm podcast. With clients on five continents, Game Day Media serves as the podcast production epicenter for individuals, nonprofit organizations, corporations across numerous verticals ranging from education and philanthropy to sports and fitness. We welcome John to the show.
John Largent, welcome to the show. We are so happy to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my my honor and privilege to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, I want to tell our audience a little bit about how we got connected, and that was really through Jeffrey Hazlett at C-Suite Radio. Jeffrey was kind enough to write the foreword, you know, to my new book, Peernovation, which has only been out just over 3 weeks now. And you know, he and I were chatting about it, and he said, "Have you gotten the audiobook yet?" And I said, "No." I said, "It's something that is very much next on my list." And he said, "Well, have I got the guy for you?" And so he and I chatted a little bit. You and I, of course, got on the phone. We will be getting together really within a couple of weeks down in San Antonio to record it. I'm excited about it because I've written two books before, and the audiobooks were narrated by someone else. And so to get the opportunity to read this one, especially when there's so many personal stories in it and all, in fact, Randy had mentioned to me the idea that he said, you know, for a novel, it's great to have that professional voiceover, but for nonfiction and the kinds of things that, you know, I'll be talking about with Peernovation, he says, it's always great to hear from the author directly. So, but, you know, part of what I want to do is not just talk about it in the context of my book, but I would love for us to get a little bit of a peek behind the curtain on audiobooks in general. And because we're all about high-performing teams here at Peernovation, I'd love to know who gets involved, the roles they play, and how that all comes together. How does that team work together to make that really terrific audiobook?
Yeah, first of all, I want to go back to what you said about you reading your own book, because I think that's so important for the author to have their voice. You know, our original company name for this division of Game Day Media, which is our parent company, was called Audiobook Authors, because we feel that it's so essential to have the authors speak for themselves. And we coach a lot of people that aren't comfortable with their voices, but we find out once they go through the process, they're very satisfied with the end results, because they know they got all the pronunciations right. They know they don't have to go back and forth with the publishers having to deal with the audiobook or the voiceover talent, because they've done it themselves. So that's been our philosophy from the beginning, is if you have the chops to write a book, and that's an amazing accomplishment in and of itself, to put the icing on the cake is for you to read your own audiobook. And we have found it tremendously successful, even with very reticent authors out there to come in, and we work with them, and then they do a fantastic job. So I think that adds such an additional element to the fact that they're reading their own books. As far as the process goes, it really goes back to having a conversation with the author themselves. I know you and I have had that conversation, and we're still continuing as we get ready to have you down to San Antonio to the studio to work on your book. But one of the main things is we really want to kind of get into your mindset. What type of subject is the book? How long is the book? What is your personality style? Because the thing we want to do is, however you have written this book and whatever the topic or the genre is, we want to make sure that we're consistent. It's kind of like writing music that gets, I'll give you an example, and it dates me tremendously, but I remember Pat Boone, the singer from the 50s that my parents were very aware of.
Sure.
He sang a hard rock album back in the 90s just doesn't jive, you know, ending that, you know, or any of these AC/DC or hard rock, and that you kind of stay in your lane. And so we've really found that that is an essential, and yet it's a little bit abstract part of having an author come in to read their book, is we want to understand you, your personality, your cadence, how you speak, how you enunciate. Those are really almost intuitive things, but they're things that we find just bring so much more value to the process of the recording of the audiobook.
As a preview of coming attractions, because you've got me curious here, what are some of the things that you find are the common bits of coaching that you do for someone who's reading that book, and what they have to think about in terms of the pace and the enunciation and the emotion and the kinds of things? How does that, what's that process like? And what are the kinds of things that you find can be most helpful to someone, especially who's doing it for the first time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the best answer to that is we just encourage the reader, which is the author, to just be themselves. We don't want to make the narration something that it's not. We don't want someone to put on the radio voice where they're speaking like that. We want them to be comfortable in their own skin and realize that when they read their books in that context, people are going to get it, and they're going to get it more because it's coming from you, the person that wrote it. And so it's a real, it's almost a biological thing. I don't want to get too deep in the woods with it, but understanding your mindset and understanding the topics that you're speaking on, if it's high performance, those are things that are going to be even further, exacerbated, I guess is the word, because you're reading it yourself. And so we understand the process that your mindset and how you're writing, because if you think about it, when you write a book, please correct me if I'm wrong, but you're reading it and you're writing it in your own voice. And so how you put that pen to paper or laptop or however you write, it's really done in a way that is mentally in your own head. You're reading it to yourself. I know when I read things that I'm looking at in a book or a magazine or a newspaper, it's in my voice. And so that's the essence that we want to capture in the audiobook. And that's why we think it's so important to understand the author before we ever get started. So we'll sit down before you ever put mic to mouth, and we'll just talk about a few things before we get started to make sure that we understand, myself, the producer, and then ultimately the editors and other people that get involved understand what you're trying to emote with your voice based on the pages of your book.
Yeah, I think the emoting thing you're talking about is really where the rubber meets the road on it, right? On one hand, it's kind of conversely, I've got friends, you know, people who know me really well, who will read my books and say, this is exactly like the way you would be talking to me sitting, you know, if we were hanging out, you know. And I kind of like that. They can hear my voice in it. And yet at the same time, for those who don't, and for, you know, and to be able to really share a story that I think was either kind of something fun or something more dramatic or something sometimes very humbling, you know, all of these kinds of things. And to hear that, I think, directly from the author, and to deliver that story with every bit the emotion behind it, that was the reason that I put it down to begin with. So this will be a lot of fun. I'm sure it's not easy in terms of going through the entire text, but you know, I'm sure there's a lot of patience involved on your end.
The process is really interesting, because the first time, you know, as you're reading it in the studio, our producer is following along in the book and will make some corrections in real time. Then after the book has been recorded, we go back and we take out some of the obvious pauses, if there are any ums, or if there are just any natural stops, want to grab some water or whatever, we take the letter of the book in almost every way. And that can be very subtle. It could be a them instead of those. It could be some of those. And so we'll often have people do rereads, and we do the editing there involved with that process. And then after the reading is done and after everyone is happy with the recording, not only the quality, but the accuracy and all that, then we have to format it for Amazon and all things like that. And that has some requirements from them through ACX, which is the, I think it's Audible Communication Exchange. I think that's what it's called, but ACX makes sure that everything's formatted a certain way so that when they purchase your book or your audio book, that it is, it falls into place just like your book does. So each, actually, you know, inside baseball, all of the chapters are separate individual audio files, and they have to have certain time stamps and prints to, for a certain amount of seconds before you start emoting and over before you start speaking. And so there are just a lot of elements and timing things so that it meets the specifications of the audio book distributors. And then of course, if the publisher's involved, there may be some additional things that need to be added into that after in post-production. So it involves usually six or seven people, and
yeah, tell us about that.
It's very painstaking.
So if it's six or seven people, tell us a little bit about that team. What are the roles they play? How do they work together? And how does that whole thing go when it comes to really producing some? This is not something most of us could record at home and obviously turn it into the kind of professional product that would be acceptable, you know, for Audible and other such, places, you know. And so tell us a little bit about that, because that's fascinating to me.
Yeah. Our team is, we're all in-house, and it consists of a number of people. The executive producer, I typically take on that role, which is just oversight of the entire process. We have a producer that's actually in the studio, that's actually has the book pulled up on a Kindle or an audio or a an iPad or some form of that, and they're actually in the studio recording. We have two or three editors, depending on the length of the book and how quickly it has to be turned around, so that those people are all doing the first level of record of editing. And then we have a content producer who actually looks at everything at the very end and make sure that it meets all the specifications, almost like a QA manager, to make sure that the quality is consistent with the book itself. And then ultimately it comes back to me. I listen to the entire thing with the book. And once it kind of passes muster with everyone, we send it back to the author or to the publisher to have it out the door and ready to be consumed on Audible or Nook or Amazon or wherever they purchase their audiobooks.
Do you do, in terms of the mix, let's say, of fiction versus nonfiction group, books, what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so we've mostly done nonfiction books at this point, but we have gotten more and more request to do fiction books. And one of the things that we're really doing right now that it's pretty interesting is we're almost making them into audio dramas. We're having more than one reader, and we're having sound effects and Foley artists and create and background music to set the tone for certain scenes. So it's a much different animal, but it's a really creative process that we've been working on for a bit now. And it's going to be, I think that's going to be a huge growth opportunity with fiction writers is creating those almost into, I call it theater of the mind, because it's almost a movie in book form through your ears. And so I don't know where it's going to go, but it's exciting because podcasting, which is, you know, I think that's kind of the, I mean, back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, I mean, I can remember my parents telling me they used to stare at the red dot on their radio while they were listening to cereals and things like that. And so that's all come back into fashion again because of this on-demand nature that we have with all of our content that we consume. But I think that to keep people interested and involved and engaged, you have to give them more. And I think this is part of it, which to me is extremely exciting.
That's exactly what I was thinking of when you were talking about those old radio shows, you know, and it had all of that drama and all that stuff. You know, I you know, the crack of thunder and the wind and whatever
exactly
was going on to really put you in that moment when you couldn't see it. So the idea that, you know, we're bringing that to novels. I'm not sure how much crackling thunder or sound effects we'll have as part of our nonfiction event for Peer Innovation. But, you know, I do think that that's a fascinating part of it. Again, it kind of goes back to how we want to make our audience feel. It's not just about the transfer of information and appealing to that rational mind so much is really connecting with them through story and through, you know, so many means, I think, that make a connection with that listener. And they can relate a lot of what you're trying to talk about to their own lives, and that there's really something to stick to and something that, you know, creates a connection there. So I really look forward to doing that because, you know, it's one thing on a, obviously in an ebook, when they look at the pages and it's, you know, their own voice essentially, you know, hearing it, but to actually be able to listen to it and kind of receive that, right, to allow them to receive not just the information, but everything else that comes with it, I think is really powerful. So I can certainly understand why, you know, audiobooks, especially when you talk about, you know, producing them the way that you do, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, as just being really inviting way to get information, particularly when we're commuting. And, you know, even if people aren't commuting as much now, going back and forth to work, how many people now are taking road trips and doing things mm-hmm. like that, where audiobooks become a wonderful resource for them?
It is. And much like this podcast, yep. The fact that they're hearing your voice and when you are talking about your audiobook, it creates this relationship with your audience that you don't get in a lot of other methods of communication or content, because they feel like, because they've heard you, they know you, they know what Peer Innovation's about, they understand where you're coming from. And for them to purchase a book and have you read that to them, that's a further engagement. And there's a loyalty issue there too, because they feel more aligned with you. And, you know, we talk about building, you know, and people call it building your tribe, building your membership, whatever that's called. But just having that additional connection of you riding down the road, or while someone is preparing dinner or washing clothes or whatever, and you're talking to them throughout there, that builds a strong bond between you and your audience. And it's something that's undeniable, and it's something that is very powerful for authors and podcasters and other people that are connecting that way, because they feel like, I know this person, I like this person, I trust this person, so I'm going to be in with them for the long haul.
You know, it's kind of interesting, you know, that they often talked about the book as being a business card to consulting gigs and these other kinds of things. But the reality also, it seems like the audiobook is really such a great primer for someone who might want to say, hey, I want to listen to that podcast now, right? Because now, you've created the relationship
right.
through this piece of content. And they're thinking, wow, I want to hear, not only just I want to read, but I want to hear more from that person or their guests or whatever they're bringing to the table, because they're talking about a subject that I take an interest in. And, you know, when I think about podcasts or blogs people read or anything like that, we know it's very self-selective, right? I remember I was CEO I was working with one time and we were getting him to blog and he goes, who reads this stuff? And I said, the people who are interested read it. I said, if you're writing about plumbing supplies, then people who cared about plumbing supplies would come and read your blog. I said, and you're writing about, you know, leadership and small to mid-sized companies, and these are the people that will come. So what's nice about it is that the audience, you know, is really, you know, I mean, again, it's self-selection, right? It's, but by definition, they're there because they have an interest. And then it's obviously up to us, whether it's reading that audiobook or during the podcast, to really to deliver, you know, on that promise of the content. And I think the intent, you know, also we have behind sharing it.
Yeah, I always liken it to how we first dealt with the internet. You know, 20, 25 years ago, there was a term called surfing the web. And it was because it was so new that everybody just was looking at anything and everything and kind of exploring that space until they realized how it can be used as a tool to find specific information that is of interest to me. And I think that's what's happened with podcasts and audiobooks, is the audience that is there for you is going to find you, and they're going to consume whatever content you have because it's of interest specifically to them. And it's matured in its lifespan to kind of have that specificity that maybe didn't exist 15 or 20 years ago. I've been podcasting since 2007, and I was podcasting to an audience of maybe 10 or 12, and I was probably five of the listeners, you know, just to make sure how I sounded and if I could do anything better. So I think that as we've seen this world of podcasting, and everybody that is in the podcast space and the audiobook space, they see the growth of the overall markets for both of them and how they work interchangeably to put a spotlight on the content that you're providing.
Yeah, no question about it. Of course, Randy Cantrell, who's unfortunately couldn't be with us today, but you know, he and I will typically do this show together, and Randy's been, you know, podcasting forever, you know, as well, and loves it, enjoys it, and has had you know, several shows over the years. And, you know, it's just really great to see. And what's interesting too, kind of like the example you brought up about how the way we're producing audiobooks is like those old radio programs. You know, you also reminded me a little bit about those days where everyone was first getting on the internet and they're trying to figure out there were all these conversations about the etiquette. What do you do? And how do you, you know, comment, until everyone realizes that you pretty much the etiquette is pretty much the same as if you were with a group of people in person, right? You don't walk into a group of people and just impose yourself and start selling them things without, you know, because they'll look at you and like, right, get out of here, you know? I mean, it's the same difference, right? So you kind of learn that all these things, that while the platform may be different and the medium may be different, a lot of what I think is expected of us and expected, you know, from and of the audience is very much the same. And it's just kind of great to see. I want to give a shout out too, while I'm thinking of it, if you don't mind, to actually did two and a half hour classes for Washington University in St. Louis the other day. And just such a great group of people. And I think, you know, kind of to your point about just the experience of being together, and again, having something that isn't just something they read, but delivered with some real intent and emotion behind it. And then obviously being able to field questions and be able to engage in conversation with them, you know, makes all the difference in the world. And so kind of look forward to that, you know. And I'm going to be doing a thing next month with some folks in Europe that will be very much kind of an exchange like that. We're going to talk about the book, but yet we're going to really get a lot of people involved and really try to have a conversation about this content and not have it be simply one way. I think for any of us who write about anything, we are students of it first. You know, it's what keeps you kind of sharp and keeps you always, you know, kind of attentive to what's next and all of that. And I can only imagine in the position you're in, not only in terms of advancing your field and how audiobooks are done, But how cool is it that you get to be the recipient of all this content that you get to read and reread and listen to and re-listen to? And you know,
I tell people all the time, it's the best job in the world to be a fly on the wall and listen to investors, business leaders, thought leaders, athletes, celebrities, educators. It is a phenomenal place to be. And to you, your point about working with a group in Europe, how amazing is technology now that and bring more insight into the concepts that you're teaching, because they may view it in a different light that you may never have thought of. And the fact, I mean, we work with clients on six continents. We don't have any penguins yet in Antarctica, but we're looking for them. But we work with people all over the globe, and it's so refreshing to listen to different perspectives and get new insights and have new emotional connections with people and their daily struggles and their you know their passion for what they do. It is just phenomenal. So you are using the technology that we have now to its fullest extent. And I commend you on that, because it makes such a big difference on what you're doing when you realize you do have a global audience.
Well, and here's also another aspect of this from an author's perspective. And I would suggest this for anybody, right? I mean, I know Jeffrey Hazlett came out with his book just within the past year or two. Brian Solis is writing books. All these guys are writing books. You would tell, if every one of these people, Diane Hamilton wrote a terrific book about curiosity recently, right? And I think if you interviewed any one of them, they would tell you, it was a couple hundred page book, but there's probably a couple of thousand pages of notes. So what these interactions also provide is the author to bring things forward that maybe didn't make the book, because no one wants to read a 1,000-page text. You know, they want to figure out, you've got to make those selections. However, there's plenty of things there that offer some tremendous content, great lessons, you know, can be applicable to different audiences that you're working with. And it really provides an opportunity. And I always think, too, that what I don't want when I go hear a speaker who wrote a book that I liked, to hear them parrot the book for 50 minutes. And I'm like, well, I read the book. I want to know what's the other stuff going on. What, tell me about this or that, or where this came from, really. And, you know, the stuff that oftentimes doesn't make the text. So I know from my standpoint, I always try to figure out what extra am I going to bring to the table here that'll make them feel that it was worth the time, other than just, you know, yeah, they did the book and we can reiterate those concepts. Great. But, you know, let's have some fun with a lot of the, you know, a bit about what we're doing today. Let's go kind of behind the scenes a little bit about an audiobook and see what that looks like and how many people are involved. And, you know, you've shared some really neat information about, especially, you know, with some of these novels and, you know, what goes into creating that whole, you know, atmosphere for the listener.
Yeah, it's so much fun to do this job. I was a hospital administrator for 27 years and took a hard turn one way or the other, depending on how you look at it. And this has been so much more fun and has allowed me to be creative. And you know, one of the big aspects of all of this is the fact that, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, there's so many more opportunities there. And like, for example, we're working with an author right now that wrote a book. It's been published. It's out there. We did his audio book. And now he's doing a podcast to supplement the book, to do exactly what you just said. It was so insightful, because he's telling stories around the book, but they're not in the book. And they're just other examples of these things. And he's got just infinite amount of information and content to share because of the content matter, which is storytelling and how the art of storytelling. And so he uses his podcast as a supplement. You know, remember in chapter 2 when I talked about this, well, let me tell you a story. And then he goes off into the story that's not included in the book. And so it does. It all kind of goes full circle when you're talking about creating this loop of continuous opportunities to provide more insight about yourself and the courses or the concepts that you're teaching. And it just makes it a wonderful experience. And I, you know, I'm going to figure out how we can get some sound effects in your book when you come down. I can't tell you how excited we are to have you come down in a couple of weeks.
Well, let's figure out some fun sound effects there for sure. you know, before we run today, and like I said, it's been so great, you know, having you on. And of course, time always flies when we, you know, do these types of shows. But I guess for the author who's right now thinking about, okay, they're writing the book, maybe they're getting close to publishing it. Any advice for them regarding the audio book or anything else?
I would basically just say, feel confident in yourself. You were confident enough to write the book. Be confident enough to tell that story yourself. I mean, I have nothing against voiceover artists. We use them all the time. But I think when it's something that you have created out of thin air, that is your story to tell or your content that you want to share, I think it should come from your mouth and your voice and your mind and your heart and your passion. And I would just encourage those authors that have pushed that off and then have been unsatisfied with the end result to take a chance on themselves, because they've done it once. They've created this work of art, this work of business, this work of education, whatever it is. And it's going to be so much more powerful when you deliver that message yourself in the form of an audiobook.
Nice. John Largent, thank you very, very much for joining us on the show today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Leo. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. To subscribe to the podcast and learn more about how you can engage Peernovation for your organization, contact us on the website at peernovation.co. Till next week, remember, power of we begins with you.